With recovery efforts underway on Maui, the links between the recent wildfires there and a warming planet are becoming more clear. The devastation comes as young people across the Hawaiian Islands have been organising for action on climate change. In fact, a youth-led lawsuit against the state seeks immediate action to scale back carbon-emitting activities. The Hawaiian lawsuit echoes another high-profile youth climate lawsuit in Montana, where today, a federal judge ruled in favour of the young people who sued the state over its environmental policies. We'll hear more about that on tomorrow's show. For more on what's happening in Hawaii, we'll talk with Anita Hofschneider. She's a senior staff writer for our editorial partner Grist, and she's based in Honolulu. Anita, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you for having me.
Anita, before we get to the youth climate lawsuit, you've been reporting on the fires burning not only in Maui, but also on the island of Hawaii. What's the context we should know about what's happening there right now?
Well, I think one thing that's important to know is that even though this might feel surprising to a lot of us who don't associate Hawaii with wildfires, wildfires are actually quite common here. And you know, there have been scientists who have been raising the alarm about the way that unmanaged grasslands that are filled with non-native plants have really just been primed to burn, and the way in which, you know, there's a lot that could have been done to have prevent this from being as bad as it was.
I mean, explain that a little more, because you reported that Hawaii state leaders were caught off guard with the rapid onset of these fires. How?
So they were surprised because they knew that a hurricane was passing south of the islands, but they didn't assume that a hurricane that actually didn't hit the islands would still cause so much damage and cause these types of fires. And they definitely never thought that so many people would die and that the entire town of Lahaina would be destroyed. But you know, what we have known for many years is that there are large areas of non-native grasslands that have proliferated with the shutting of the state's plantation economy. You know, back in the day, Hawaii was associated with lots of pineapple fields and sugar plantations and all of these large areas of land that were managed. And before the plantation economy, you know, there was traditional Hawaiian agriculture that utilized a lot of the land. But nowadays, you know, Hawaii's main economic drivers are tourism and real estate. And so you have a lot of large areas of land that are unmanaged, they're filled with non-native grasslands that this one scientist described to me as papery thin and ready to go. What it does, it just makes these areas incredibly vulnerable, especially a place like West Maui, which is already on the drier side of the island. And right now, about a third of Maui is in drought, and Hawaii has been having pretty consistent droughts. And so it is really just a confluence of the weather and these fuels mixed together, you know, created this situation.
So explain a little more to us, because I think, you know, on the one hand, it sounds like maybe mismanagement of not really doing any kind of fire protection work for that wild grass. But you were also mentioning weather, you know, and I wonder, you know, we're hearing climate change. Climate change is making this all worse. Is that the case there?
So it's really hard, as these scientists were telling me, that it's really hard to say, hey, climate change caused this, you know, and I think that's true for many extreme weather events, that it's very difficult to have an exact causal link. But what we do know is that climate change is contributing to worse hurricanes and more frequent hurricanes. You know, usually Hawaii doesn't get hurricanes, but we've been getting hurricanes more frequently in the last few years. Climate change is also contributing to drought and, you know, making especially the West Maui area drier. And so the scientists that I'm speaking to say that we can expect similarly very terrible wildfire seasons moving forward because of climate change.
And this is the backdrop to what we were originally going to talk to you about before these terrible fires took hold of Maui, is the youth climate lawsuit. And that is progressing there in Hawaii. It's scheduled to go to court next summer. And as I understand it, 9 of the 14 plaintiffs are Indigenous. And they're suing the State Department of Transportation. Why?
So what they're saying is that the State Department of Transportation has not done enough to, you know, really prioritize the state's goals of being net carbon negative by 2045 and to really recognize their constitutional rights to a clean and healthful environment. You know, when you actually look at the State Department of Transportation and what they've done recently, they have really focused on expanding lanes to help with people who are driving, you know, to and from West Oahu to downtown Honolulu for work. And, you know, that there is really terrible traffic around the H1 on the south shore of Oahu. So there is a lot of, you know, calls for efforts to, you know, help make that traffic better. But what these youth are saying is that, you know, this prioritization of these types of transportation infrastructure projects are contributing a lot to carbon emissions and making the world a lot less safe for them and these types of extreme weather events.
Some people may imagine Hawaii as kind of carefree and beautiful beaches that they love to visit. But I don't think really, you know, many know what day-to-day life is like. Listening to you talk about the traffic, I picture Los Angeles or the Bay Area and our freeways clogged up over here in California, not beautiful Hawaii. Can you paint a picture of the geography and how important transportation is?
Oh, transportation is very important in Hawaii. I mean, I know a lot of people when they come to Oahu, they go straight to Waikiki and they don't leave. But, you know, there's a lot of workers who, you know, help fuel the tourism industry here, and they often can't afford to live in Waikiki or any of the surrounding neighborhoods, so they might live quite far away. And so having a good, you know, bus system, having a car is very important to get, you know, into the city in order to get to work. And then you also have the neighbor islands, and so, you know, getting transportation by air to and from, you know, Maui and Oahu, for example, is very important. You know, people rely on flights in order to get access to the hospitals where they need, you know, to get specialized care that they might not be able to get on their home islands. So transportation is extremely critical here.
And what do the young plaintiffs in this climate case in Hawaii, you know, what do they want to happen? What would be a victory for them? How would things change in what you're describing there?
What they really want is for the state to prioritize the type of transportation system that would not be emitting so many greenhouse gases. I mean, they want the state to step away from the types of projects that I know that it's doing right now. For example, the state just spent over $300 million on a new rental car complex that only had one charging station for electric vehicles. You know, they're saying if you're going to be spending all of this money, then you need to be, you know, prioritizing the types of transportation that, you know, can actually, you know, be sustainable moving forward.
And are you hearing anything from the state on this?
So the state declined to comment, but that's pretty typical with ongoing litigation. They, you know, usually don't comment until, like, while a case is ongoing.
And I wonder if you know how this case in Hawaii compares to the one in Montana, which is also youth suing over their constitutional right to a healthful environment. Could Montana's resolution impact what happens in Hawaii when it goes to trial next summer, do you think?
So it's possible that the decisions of Montana could influence what happens in Hawaii, but the cases are a little bit different. So in Montana, the youth are suing over the state's enthusiastic promotion of the fossil fuel industry. They aren't suing over the transportation system. But in some ways, they are similar. You know, they actually are both working with the same nonprofit that is on behalf of youth suing over climate change. And so they're part of the same, you know, movement to really try to hold governments accountable for their role in this climate crisis.
I wonder if you can share, you know, any stories that the young people, the plaintiffs, told you about their lives and how this is really impacting them and as to why they want to be part of this.
Sure. So I spoke with one 13-year-old named Kaliko, and she's one of the 14 plaintiffs. And she was saying that she, you know, sees every day how climate change is affecting everyone's life and that it's significantly affected hers. And she brought up how her family lost their house 5 years ago in Hurricane Olivia. Now, when the hurricane hit her home island of Maui, it had actually weakened to a tropical storm, but it was still so strong that, you know, it flooded homes and her family lost their homes. And, you know, the thing with that particular storm is that even though it was, you know, only tropical storm level winds by the time it hit Maui, it was the first storm of its strength to hit the island in all of recorded history. So it was very unusual. And, you know, I'm thinking a lot about Kaliko these last few days because, you know, she lives on West Maui about half an hour away from Lahaina.
Have you heard from her?
I haven't. I don't expect to because I'm sure that, you know, she and her family are just, you know, focusing on recovery.
Survival mode.
Exactly. But, you know, when I was reporting this story, I found one study that said that children born in 2020 are 2 to 7 times more likely to experience an extreme weather event compared to children born in 1960. And so this is exactly what the plaintiffs are concerned about, is these types of extreme weather events that make it harder for them to live the types of lives that they want to, free of trauma.
Anita Hofschneider is a senior staff writer for Grist in Honolulu. Anita, thank you so much.
Thank you.